Okay, yesterday we started in continuation to cooking on Yom Tov. The din was called Mavi, making a fire. We learned that Midrabani, you're not allowed to make a fire on Yom Tov, meaning to start a fire, to create a fire from nothing. So we're discussing that you can continue a fire, but you can't make a new fire. Therefore, if somebody has, let's say, a stove with a pilot light, Olav Shalom, even though some people say they still have it, you can turn on the fire because all you're doing is extending a fire. If you have a gas fire, you can make it bigger. Soon we'll get to make the concept of making it smaller, if you're allowed to or not. I didn't say anything yet. Come closer, you might hear.
Can you lower the fire on yourself?
Can you blow out a fire?
Lower.
We said we're going to get there soon.
Okay.
If you come closer, you might hear. Okay, so creating new fire is not allowed. Now, you can light from an existing flame, but they say like this. You can even take a match and light it from a fire, because then all you're doing is extending that fire. But what sometimes, if there's something like a fire that's very hot, or coils that are very hot, and you bring a match near it, the heat will make the fire go on. That you cannot do on Yom Tov.
Because
now you're creating a new fire. Like this, you're taking that fire and bringing it into the candle, the match, or whatever. But if you're gonna, so you have to be careful, especially your matches, where it really applies. If you want to light a match from a fire, you need to make sure that you put the match directly into the fire, and then you're able to light it, because then you're not making a new fire. The same thing, electric coil, for all practical purposes, has a din of a fire. We also learned yesterday, that when you
maybe
come
you
to...
You can make it stronger if it's on?
What? No, just one second. So yesterday we learned that if you have an electric stove, making it higher could be a big question, depending how the stove works. Some stove, when you make it higher, we learned yesterday, but if you make it higher, it creates a new coil. If it creates a new coil, then you're making a new fire. If it's just extending the present coil, then you would be allowed to, because we don't know with stoves, unless if you know the exact mechanism of your particular stove, how it works, so then there would be a shiloh.
So you can find that out.
I'm not saying you can't.
You probably will.
Okay, now, Bechlal, Halacha says like this, L'chadchila, if I want to light something from an existing fire, let's say I have a candle burning, and now I want to light the stove from the candle. So you should do it directly from the candle rather than through something else. In other words, if I want to light a fire, I shouldn't take a match, light it from one candle to light the other candle. You should light l'chatchila straight from candle to candle without intermediary. What happens if you didn't, or whatever reason it is, then you would be allowed to do it. If there's no other way of doing it. Why what?
It's hard to put on candle. The intermediary, what's the difference? I mean, you're still lighting something else and lighting something.
Because that fire itself is not really needed.
So
it's only needed for the other fire.
As much as possible.
Right. So I'm saying, if you're able to do it, you should do it without the intermediary. But if you have no choice, then you could.
It's too hard to take it.
But you have to be careful not to turn it off.
Right. That's what I'm saying. It's very hard to take a rotate candle and light a stove with it. So then, if you have no choice, you could do it. But I'm saying, l'chatchila, if you're able to, you want to light a candle from a candle. Chatzil, you should light. I'll give you another example. I'm not discussing the pros and the cons. Let's say you want to smoke. Smoke a cigarette. Or other stuff. So what happens if you want to smoke a cigarette? I didn't point at anybody. I just went that way.
He was trying to push it outside.
Now what happens if somebody wants to light a cigarette? So you come over to a guy who's smoking the cigarette ever, and you light a match from his cigarette, and then you light your cigarette with it. It's not preferred to do it that way. Preferred way of doing it is to light your cigarette directly from their cigarette. Again, you're not going through an intermediary. If there's no other way, then you would be allowed to light a match from the first cigarette and do it. Okay. Now, when you light a fire, by the way, what happens, we also, this is very important, and by the way, practical, like we were saying yesterday, if you have these stoves that close up after 12 hours, if for safety features. So I'll be doing, if you need, you're allowed to ask a guy to turn on a fire on Yom Tov, providing you need the fire for Yom Tov.
Yeah.
So now, what happens if your stove went off and you're middle of Yom Tov or whatever it is, you need to relight the stove. So I'll be then you're allowed to ask a guy to come in, ask a guy to turn it on, even though he's creating a new fire. And we said the reason for that is because lighting a fire is only midrabanan on Yom Tov, and it's a shvuz b'makom tzeirich Yom Tov, so you would be allowed to do it, to ask a guy to do it.
Why would you then be strict about having a boy turning a light during the week for the stove?
Oh, no. There's another issue here, Bishul Akumah, the guy cooking.
Right.
So if the guy turns on the fire, you have to do the rest. You can't, in other words, you have to put the pan into the oven then. Or the pot on top of the stove. Otherwise it's the guy cooking, which is a problem. Okay,
what? Side question based on that.
For a change.
During the week, whatever. Let's say a goy or someone on Shomer Shabbat, whatever it is. They start the fire, they start cooking, they're pretty much done with cooking. If you come and stir it at the end, is it Bishul Yisrael?
If you stir it in the cooking process, it's Bishul Yisrael.
At any point.
At any point that it's not done yet.
Not done. Like, what's considered done? Like, have, like before Shabbat.
That is that you. That's the standard, way you're going to eat it.
Trolling before Shabbat or different?
No.
What's considered done?
Done. That's the normal way you eat that food. Okay. So now, what happens if somebody wants to light a furnace to heat up the house in Yom Tov? So if you have a pre-existing what?
A tanur
to heat up the house. So if you have a pre-existing flame, even though it's not for cooking, but it's tzeirich Yom Tov, it's for the case of warming up the house.
Potbelly stoves?
Yeah, but you can't start a fire. You can do it with a pre-existing fire.
Don't they usually have pilot lights?
What?
Furnaces.
No, I'm not talking about the furnace. I'm talking like a fireplace or something like that.
A cabin in a remote area.
Furnace is a fireplace.
Okay, fine. This is not a class in
it's a very important question
in log cabins, by the way. The question of Yom Tov. Now, what happens if a room is dark and you want to bring in from a pre-existing flame? You need want to bring in light, not for cooking, just to light up the room. Then you would be allowed to. What happens if you need lights in the shul again, like in the old days when they had candles, or if somebody wants to light candles just for festivity, like you have a bris? Or you're having, you want to light candles for the festivity, you would be allowed to. What's very interesting, there's a big machlekes in halacha about lighting a yahrzeit candle. A lot of people have a custom for yizkor, right? They light a yahrzeit candle. It's not about custom, but many people in the world light a yahrzeit candle for yizkor. So then the question is, yizkor is the second day Yom Tov. Am I allowed to light the candle on the second day Yom Tov? From a pre-existing flame, obviously, but I'm lighting it now. Is that called Tzeirich Yom Tov or not? So the Berel, some Paschim say yes, some Paschim say no. The best thing, therefore, is even to get a 48-hour one that you light before Yom Tov.
So
some Paschim say you can light it in a room where you need the light, so then it's lit anyway, or things like that. But it's not so simple just lighting a yahrzeit candle, because it's not for the sake of Yom Tov. It's not for the sake of...
But if you enjoy it, then that's for the sake of Yom Tov.
Enjoy what? A yahrzeit candle?
A candle being lit, whatever. Yes,
a yahrzeit candle?
You want to light it and whatever. Yes.
It's romantic.
There's a story. When the Rebbe came out with girls, the girls from the age of 3 should start benching Shabbos candles. So there's this guy, the Bachar would go Wednesday to read what's called release time. So Bachar went and he's talking to the kids in the class that the girls should go home and light Shabbos candles before Shabbat and so on. So, next Wednesday, he comes back to school, he said, who lit? So everybody raised their hand, all the girls raised their hand except one girl. Why didn't you light? My mom doesn't let me. My mother doesn't let me light the candles. This went on week after week, and he says, no, go home and tell your mother. The mother refused. One time, the mother comes home Friday night, late, and she sees there's a yahrzeit candle burning. So the mother starts screaming, who died? What happened? What's going on? So the little girl said, in her own sincerity, she said, you didn't let me light, so I lit for you. After that, the mother let the girl light Shabbos candles every week.
So if the second Yom Tov, is actually your side, then would you be allowed to?
So then it's a question. So the best thing then would be, most people are Mekel, by the way, but those, there are Poskim that are Machmer. So then what you need to do is either get a 48-hour one, or it, when you're lighting it, make use of it, like for Yom Tov.
Why 48 hours? I missed that part, I'm sorry.
How are you going to have a candle burning for 2 days?
Why not? I'm saying, why? What if it's less? What difference does it make if it goes out? Like, it was 24 hour one.
Because you want to light for the 24 hours of the Yisker,
right,
period.
24 hours.
Okay. Or the Yartzeit. But you have to light it before this first day Yom Tov. There's 2 days Yom Tov.
Okay.
Got it?
Right.
Unless you live in Israel. I got it. Now, how many hours is 2 days?
48 hours.
Now, how long do the Yartzeit candles burn?
Well, 48 hours.
No, they don't. Normal ones burn 24 hours.
Oh, the little one, okay.
Not the little ones, the regular Yartzeit candles.
24 hours, okay.
Now, if you light it before the first day Yom Tov, it's going to go out at the beginning of the second night.
Oh,
but
because
that's,
you're lighting it like 2 hours earlier, you
say. No, no, no. You're lighting it 24 hours.
I give up.
48 hours.
You're lighting second day.
What? So what? But a lot of people do it. Well, for Chabad custom. So? So just saying. I mentioned it already, Chabad custom.
About
custom.
What if somebody has a okay. Second day?
So it's on the second day, you light it on the second day. What's the issue with lighting on the second day?
Because some people say you can't light a Yartzeit candle on Yom Tov.
Okay, so back to the original question. What if you get enjoyment? Like, you want to light the candle. The guy wants a cigarette. What's better, to light a cigarette or to light the candle?
To do none of the above.
Okay, what I'm saying, if you light the cigarette, you got to...
Maybe you light the cigarette, somebody light the candle for you.
Okay, next. The next malacha is, after kindling, is extinguishing a fire on Yom Tov. Obviously, just like you cannot create a fire on Yom Tov, you can't extinguish a fire on Yom Tov. But there are certain situations when it could be done. And here you have a whole issue. For instance, she's not going to listen, watch this. If you want to lower a fire for cooking, okay, you're cooking the food, and now it's going to overcook, it's going to get burnt or whatever. So are you allowed to lower the fire for the sake of cooking? So it's a big argument in halacha. Some poskim hold you're allowed to because it's seirach achila. In other words, if you're doing it because you want to save money, because I don't need such a big fire, I'm going to make it smaller, then obviously you're not allowed to. But if you're doing it because you want to cook, and if you're going to leave the fire big, the food's going to get burnt, and it's not going to be good, so then many poskim say you could lower it, because then again, it's part of cooking. Other poskim say, no, you can't do it. What you should do is make two fires, one bigger and one smaller. And therefore, you won't have to extinguish the fire, because if it's getting burnt, put it from the bigger fire to the smaller fire. So there's a big argument in poskim. Some poskim go even a step further. They say, you're only allowed to do it if your food's going to get burnt, and you won't have anything else to eat. But if there's plenty of other food to eat, then why should you be able to lower the fire? It's not Reichel Nefesh. You have other stuff to eat. Ah, you want to eat this? So,
move
again.
Way off.
Okay. So, the Meisha Feinstein is Meikle, that you could lower fire, some parts are not Meikle. Whatever, but the bottom line is, the only time you're for sure only allowed to lower fire, even though according to those parts are not allowed to, is only for food purposes, not because you want to save money. By the way, the same thing applies, even probably worse. You know the electric lights, you have dimmers and then an electric light. So dimming a light is probably worse than this, than worse extinguishing. Because it could be extinguishing completely based on the coil system, like we said before.
But also not,
because it might be making a new coil, a new circuit. If you're making a new circuit, then your mom is making a new fire that you can't. Okay?
Because you can't even touch it on Yom Tov.
What? Well, if you would be, one second, if you would be allowed to do it, you would be allowed to touch it. The reason you can't touch it, because you're not allowed to do it. Right? That's why, that's why you're not allowed to touch it, because you're not allowed to do it. Right? So then it becomes muktzah also, which applies in Yom Tov. Huh? Oh, so now, what happened if you have a fire, and you just don't want it, but so what you could do is, you heat up a pot, but again, you could only heat up the pot if you need that heated water for Yom Tov. You can't just heat up a pot, right, because it's not Eichel Nefesh. So you can heat up a pot with water, and when it boils, the water goes over, and then it extinguishes the fire, but you didn't do it, it did it indirectly. Or you can ask a guy to indirectly turn off the fire. I mean, you can ask a guy to turn off.
The separation, it's like, you know it's going to happen. It doesn't matter. But you know it's going
to happen. First of all, it's only gram kibui. It's not extinguishing it directly. You're right about psikresha, but it doesn't apply here because this is only gram kibui, which on Yom Tov is mutter versus Shabbos where it's also.
What's gram kibui?
Indirect. Indirect. Moshe, if there's a fire burning, I'm not talking about when a dangerous situation. If there's a fire burning, you're not allowed to pour water around the fire. And the fire, for sure you can't, on Shabbos, right? You're extinguishing the fire. You can't even put it around the fire, that when the fire gets there, it's going to go out by itself. Can't do that. Just, it's an interesting din. It says in Hilchos Shabbos, many people, when they would have a candle, at the bottom, where the candle goes into the holder, they would put a little bit of water that when the candle burns down, it put out. Brings it down too. You're not allowed to do it even before Shabbos to cause indirectly on Shabbos the fire to go out. But Yom Tov is much easier. Okay.